shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we might sing this song and there be those who do not agree at all, especially on the grounds. If you're here, they wonder why this isn't done and that isn't done, completely failing to understand the truth that all through the ages somebody, in fact, the majority of all of us ask the same thing. If you're for us, where's all the miracles? If you're God, why not this and why not that? Why do you even make the devil? All these things, Lord, we know that from scriptures we have been warned that we are not to have that spirit upon us, Lord, directing our lives right into the darkness of perdition. We realize, Lord, you sent your spirit of light and truth, and it's there before us, absolutely vindicated, if we only look at the vindication you give and take your scripture, Lord, and see it all the way through. Help us to be that people tonight, Father, that we see the light, we come to the light, we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You particularly as the head with the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, and we know that it can't cleanse any other way. We submit to you tonight that way, Lord, and we're very grateful for your truth. We appreciate it. We thank you, and we love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 14 of the God of this evil age, and in order to begin reading on page 28 in paragraph 117 and to make a proper progression from those messages last Saturday and Sunday, numbers 13 and 14, where Brother Branham is speaking about women in what would appear to the majority of church members as a very negative or insulting and chauvinistic sermon, we must realize that he has said what all conscientious Bible students have already noted, and that is that women type the condition of the church, even as Israel reveals the hour in which we live. Thus his words, though unbelieved by the majority, are known to be true. Now, what I'm saying there is that the Bible students realize that the church is a woman. They realize also that Jezebel, the false prophetess, signifies the power of the church in setting forth a word which is idolatrous and not the true word of God. And yet, in spite of that, the people do not want to believe what Brother Branham was saying as a vindicated prophet. In other words, they want to have their own understanding. Yes, the woman, it types the church. The church is female. But we're going to decide where she stands, even though the scripture has said otherwise. Now, since this is Laodicea, which is the seventh church age or our age, and since Revelation chapter 3 describes this church woman as wretched, miserable, naked, and blind, while all the while she is declaring that this is not so, denying the graphic description that God has put in his word, which to her is a complete put down, for she has already assessed herself to be rich, increased in goods, and lacking nothing. So you see what I said a while ago. The church, understanding that it's female, understanding that this woman, literally in her condition, depicts the condition of the church, while Israel tells you the time in which we are living, she has given her own self-assessment, which means she's judged herself by her own word, she's approved herself, and she tells God, now look here. This is exactly what it is. And you see that in the Pope, as I've said many, many times. He stands up there and he said, Mary is risen bodily. He tells the world, and whether God likes it or not, God has to do it because the Pope said so. In fact, she's already there because the Pope said so. Now, if you think the Protestants are any different, you're a deceived people. I'm sorry for you. But you're just plumb out of the ballpark when it comes to spiritual things. See, God says one thing and the church says another. Now, who do you think the church is going to believe? Not going to believe God. Won't do it, see? She believes herself that she is a queen, as the bride of Christ, and will never die. So Brother Branham has no alternative than to show her as she is and point out the blemishes that she thinks are beauty spots. And modern great good culture and things to be esteemed. So the prophet is at variance with the woman. And of course he's telling about this woman naturally, and he makes the spiritual premise as he does so. Now, he just can finish by saying that this church has gone through Max Factor's works. Where Max Factor, of course, was, until previously, a great leading name in cosmetics and known in Hollywood as a brilliant, well, you might say, beautician. And Max Factor products were better than perhaps anybody's. And what he did, what his company did, was used in Hollywood to put on the glamour. And so Brother Branham is using this as a modern illustration to let the people know that the church has got her own beauty works, and she's producing fair women that entice sons of God to fall into sin. Women were so fair and so pretty, and they still are. And actually, he's going to make a comparison in paragraph 117, which you've heard him say before. Now, you take an ordinary woman on the street today. A lot of you read the story, perhaps. You never heard it, because it was even before my day. It's about Pearl O'Brien. How many heard of her? I never did. Sure, she was supposed to be the world's most beautiful woman. Why, there isn't a school kid that goes to in the schoolhouse nowadays, but was twice as pretty as she was. Why is it? The beauty of women is to happen in the last days. They cut their hair. They put them in little girls' dresses. They put them on, put in shorts, bikinis, whatever you call them. They put paint and rouge and all these kind of things to make them something they're not, see? But through scientific knowledge, they've been able to achieve this. Do you know there's more spent for cosmetics women than there is in the United States, twice or three times as much as spent for food to live on? That's proves that that's right for cosmetics. Now, you understand that Brother Branham is not saying that this is a matter of plastic surgery, although many people have used plastic surgery, like that girl Marlo Thomas. Of course, she had a nose like her father's. You can understand why she bobbed it. And you know little Jackson, Michael Jackson, he looks like the most weird thing in under high heaven. I think Lloyd was mentioning how his nose was, that is Michael's nose, spread plumb across his face. He sort of brought it in. I mean, he can breathe through it or not, but that doesn't matter. You know? And we're not talking about plastic surgery. The fact is that various types of eye shade and rouge and such as that applied can literally heighten shadows to make the cheekbones pronounced where they're higher and more striking, more sexy, the eyes and everything else. That can be used by the barber with the beautician, and the barber swirls the hair in certain ways, cutting it off, and the woman can look absolutely glamorous to what she used to be. But however, this is only part of it, because Brother Branham is bringing to our attention, as he does here, about Pearl O'Brien. I remember a Pearl White, but not a Pearl O'Brien. But it doesn't matter anyway. He's talking about this woman here, who was a world-renowned beauty. And if she were on the street today, you'd think she was some kind of a haggis bag, alongside the majority of young girls in high school or going into high school. In other words, there's an acceleration of the beautiful genes that lie in people, and they are becoming predominant in the human race. And it's not just because there are several billion people in the world. You can go almost to any town, as small as it is, and you will see beautiful young girls there. This is something that you'll find is in the book of Genesis as we go along. Number 118, notice, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, not daughters of God. The daughters of men, that they were beautiful. Now, since they're all of one lump, again, you'll notice that Brother Branham is swinging toward the thought of women being fashioned in their beauty by the cosmetics and the things that they use and the clothes that they wear in order to appear far more beautiful than they are, because we are all of one lump. But in the meantime, you will notice that over a period of time, since people have denigrated character and put it to one side for beauty and the looseness of that beauty in living, that these sons of men, or actually these daughters of men, are now multiplying, and they are very, very beautiful. Now notice it says that these daughters of men, they were very beautiful, and sons of God looked at them, and it caused the sons of God to fall into this delusion. And they took these kinds of women and married them. And it brought an age of prostitution, just like it is today, like it was in Sodom, like it's predicted to be today, that when men and women of this day swap wives and so on. If they don't like this wife, they go to Reno, Nevada, get married, get a divorce, and then marry again in 15 minutes. That's true. Women so pretty that they're almost irresistible. And what is it? It's the devil. See, Satan's still in beauty. Notice that sin was never forgiven them. That pretty scientific age was the very evil age that God destroyed off the face of the earth. That pretty scientific age. Jesus said there'd be that again just before the coming of the Son of Man. That's right. Notice Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man, when they all tried to marry. Now watch, the sons of God married the pretty daughters of men. God never did forgive them for it. All right, having read that all together, let's understand, Brother Branham said, women so pretty that they're almost irresistible. Now the fact of the matter is that they were irresistible. Over here, in the sixth chapter of Genesis, it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They were beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And so we find here Brother Branham is bringing out the fact that as the downfall in the Garden of Eden was a missexual conduct, so in here there has been a multiplication of sexual desire to the extent that men put that above anything else, and they begin to marry women they feel compatible with their lust, which is beautiful women. And so this is going on here, where evidently men who have the money are able to have more wives than men who don't have money. And of course, these men then will pick the very best of the female flock. This has been going on here. Now, you go over here to the book of Ezekiel, you begin to see something about this. You can see it runs in Satan's veins, if he's got veins. All right. In Ezekiel chapter 28, it says here in verse 12, son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre, saying, and thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Okay? This one here was very, very beautiful, and he was perfect in beauty, which would mean, of course, that he'd come to a consummate position of it, which would mean complete and whole, also entire. And it would be without spot, it would be undefiled, upright. All those things are in there as pertaining to perfect. And so you're looking at the fact that Satan had gone as far in the provision of God, or I could say God has gone as far as he was going to go in the provision of his economy to produce this individual, which was known as Satan. He was very, very beautiful and perfect. That means he had he was consummately beautiful. Now, beauty, of course, means brightness. In other words, tremendously attractive. So here was this Satan. He was the cherubim that covered, and like an archangel alongside of Michael up there. And he was very, very bright. He was outstanding. He was consummate. in what could be produced by God as to a magnificent specimen. That's exactly why Eve fell for the beast, because he was a magnificent specimen. And he stood right there, and she looked at him, and he was beautiful to her. See, and because she was able to appreciate beauty. Now, nothing wrong with that, but you better be careful where it takes you. Then again, you'll notice that in the Bible it also says they're pleasant to the eye. And that's what the Bible speaks of the tree of life. There was a real pleasantness there, which was a delight to delight in. Beautiful, you know, greatly beloved, greatly desired, goodly. And always that word leans toward the word lust, which I want you to understand now. Don't get carried away with the word lust, the same as people think the word sensual always has to do with sex. It doesn't. The word sensual has to do with your senses, of which there are five. So therefore, when you talk of the sensual and you talk of lust, you are talking then of a desire and for pleasure. So therefore, when you talk of lust and sensual things, you are not necessarily magnifying the end product, which is lust, or which is actually boils down later on to filthy sex. What you're looking at is that which comes to your attention. It has a brightness. It is outstanding. There is a preeminence. There's something satisfying about it. There's something desiring about it. It scintillates. It's right there. It catches your eye. And you say, well, this is very, very desirable. You say, hey, this stands out head and shoulders above anything else. Now, that's the way Satan was. And that's his beauty that Satan is trying to inculcate within the people. You see? Now, so therefore, you look then at the fact a little further then that it's pleasant to the eye. It means it's worth longing for. It's delightful. It's very satisfying. And it's an object of affection. All of these things are in there. And what it is, it's not wrong within itself. It's what is done with it. Just like it says concerning Satan, thou art perfect in all thy ways, till iniquity is found in thee, which in plain English means that he began to use what he had and given by God, and it was a tremendous thing that he had, and therefore he began to use it in a wrong manner. So all right, here you got this woman given to Adam, and here you got this beast come along, and he's just about the finest specimen there is, and she's absolutely beautiful. Brother Branham on many occasions said to intimate friends, if you were to look at Eve, she'd be like Marilyn Monroe. Now, I do not like Marilyn Monroe. I might not like Eve. But she's the one everybody raved about. She's the one of whom Brother Branham had the vision. Absolutely, she died of a heart attack. She was not poisoned. She wasn't murdered. She didn't take too many pills. She had a heart attack. Now, at this particular time, then, she epitomized the beauty of women. And I won't argue, Brother Branham, that Eve would look like her. What did she do with herself? She was a scuzzball and a sleazy. She's the one that talked about her affair with John Kennedy and the brother, likely. Although I don't know. I wasn't there. But she herself admitted to Earl Wilson, you know, the man that came high here, of Broadway, concerning the affair. All right, so you can see what we're looking at here. So Brother Branham is talking of this woman and molded by Satan and the church molded, that it's absolutely a dazzling conceptual image that is being built before the people. Now, how wouldn't you want to be a part of it? How wouldn't you want to be intimate with it? So you get back here in the Bible, before the flood, women typing the spiritual condition, men going right along. Brother Branham said men were to take the act, up to a woman to say no. She puts herself wide open for the act, like she's doing today. Men aren't going to turn it down. So you see here an illicit affair that is carried on, starting back there, that now comes to the church. And the church opens herself wide. to bring within her arms everybody and everything to join with her. And it's not what God wants. It's actually a case of prostitution, is what you're looking at. So here says in Ezekiel then, perfect wisdom. In the 15th verse, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. There again you find the word perfect. You find the fact that this was a creature that summed up almost every single thing to the point of being irresistible. Now he begins to take it and move in a wrong direction. Now, Brother Branham talked about that. And he mentions it, as it was in the days of Noah, so it is at this very hour. And in the days of Noah, which we read, in, of course, back there in that sixth chapter, telling you about the condition that there was a multiplication of men upon the earth, and daughters were born to them. So, all right, a lot of beautiful women are treading the earth. The sons of God, so far removed from the Garden of Eden, have begun to take notice of them, that they were exceptionally beautiful, and they presented themselves in such a way that men were more happy to engage themselves in their own destruction. Now notice Brother Branham said God never did forgive them. He certainly didn't forgive them. He wiped them all out within a short while. That he caused the pretty, intellectual, scientific women of Moab with their pretty eyes and their painting their powders, their fine perfumes, to entice the sons of God against their own women that worked and had calluses on their hands with no makeup on. Now, a man who works hard, according to the Word of God, who's supposed to work until he sweats, the sweat of his brow, a hard-working individual will not have so much time for sexual exploits as the guy that's otherwise employed. And the woman who is working hard with her husband as a helpmeet, she's not going to be having all her time to mess around with all the cosmetics and present herself to the mailman, the milkman, everybody else that comes by, which they've been doing, which at one time was a joke and is no longer a joke. Because what was once a flirty situation, a little bit of adultery, has swept the land where it is absolutely right for any man and woman to have any type of a number of affairs they so desire. But God has not said so. And this is the same as people joining a church and doing whatever they want to do. Now notice he says they're fine perfumes. Well, we'll keep reading. The women with calluses were the Israelite women. Notice, now he enticed them over Balaam. Didn't say, let us marry one another because we're all the same people. That was a lie. It was a lie and an achievement of the devil to get the sons of God to marry the daughters of men. It was a lie of the devil for Balaam, that false prophet, to try to prophesy against Moses, who tried to hold the race together to say, well, we believe the same God, we offer the same offerings, we have the same sacrifices, we do everything alike. Now, Brother Branham, of course, is talking about himself here. And, of course, these people in the church, they say, well, we believe in God. We worship through the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe all these things you do. There's a little difference between us. But, hey, the difference is not that big. Why don't you shut up? Use the gift you've got to bring the people in, because that, what you say, doesn't matter. Now, you see, that's where we have the picture today that Brother Branham had such a problem with, and I feel so sorry to talk about these things, but the woman today is anointed with the filthy spirit, and you can't tell her that. I'll bet you $1,000. Won't take me a bit. You catch your wife doing some of these things, if you catch her, or you've got a sister somewhere, and you tell her that's a filthy spirit on her, she'll start screaming and crying and tearing things because she won't believe that there is a filthy spirit on her anointing her. I'll make $1,000. Of course, you get your eyes scratched out, too. Maybe better not go for the $1,000 and keep your eyes. Now, I'm hitting hard, but I'm sorry. You're not going to beat me on this proposition here, because I know exactly what happened in Brother Branham's meetings, and I preached long enough to know the truth. They simply will not believe. Any more than the Pentecostal belief, you don't get the baptism with the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. You can be 100% lined up with a son of perdition and a Judas and have a genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost upon you because they don't understand the Word of God except in a very oblique blimp upon their TV screen that all power is of God and the devil uses God's own power perverse in a perverse manner. And I don't believe that. You will not get them. You know why? And you know why women can't do it? Because they represent the church, and the church cannot get it. Because the church is Satan's own structure. Right. Now he takes the human race to do it. God takes the human race to do it. I know it's tough to preach this way, but I wouldn't pull my punches for anybody. It just doesn't work. Now listen, you see, we believe the same God, got the same sacrifice, the same offerings. We do just alike. So close that would deceive the elected apostles. See, come away from her, you people. You have nothing to do with her. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation, the 18th chapter. All right. In verse 23, and the light of a candle shall shine and no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and all and of the bride shall no more shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now, he's talking about Babylon. And the sorceries, of course, come from the word pharmacopoeia and pharmacy, which has to do with the druggist. Now, these people are compounding things. Therefore, the church, now listen carefully. Remember, where Rome was, all science died. Galileo could not say the world was round. He could not say that the earth turned and the sun stood still. They said, we'll cut your gizzard out. So he pretended he agreed. Wherever Rome went, now get this flat, science died, the mother harlot dictated. But where Protestantism went, and now get this, science abounded. Now prove me wrong. Go ahead. I know what I'm talking about. When France destroyed the Huguenots, they destroyed their nation financially. When England turned from Rome, they became a rich and wealthy nation. Why do you think America's dying now? Because there are more Roman Catholics than Protestants. They destroy everything. Now, what am I trying to tell you in a nutshell? I don't care if Roman Catholic or Protestant. I don't care if you deny everything scientific and become a complete stupid boob or a Protestant. The devil will trap you either with the grossness or the brightness. That's right. Always you will find, it doesn't matter which way you go, the church is condemned. And you can be trapped in sheer stupidity as Mexico has been all these years. And as Russia. All the Catholic nations. And you can go where smart men rose up like the Protestants in Germany. And other nations, in America especially. And you will find there is a growth. But you will notice that Satan is control of it all. Clever. Doesn't matter which way you turn. I'm reading here now about how it is within the church at the end time. They are driven to the place of completely running what is known as civilization, which has to do with merchandising. Now let's read about these merchants. Let's start with verse 19 of chapter. And the kings of the earth who had committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, delightfully shall bewail her and lament her when they'll see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment is come. And the merchant of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. Now watch everything stand still. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all manner of thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and manners of precious wood and brass and iron and marble. Now watch. And cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil. Everything women use. All the cosmetics, everything is in there. Now this is what Brother Branham is talking about. It has gone entirely illegitimate. Alright, let's keep reading. 121, notice it was not likely that God would interpret his word to Cain's evil generation. Now, I'm swinging right down to reality, the separation of churches. And the true church of Jesus Christ, though instrumental in bringing light away from paganism, it always goes then to the end of merchandising. It goes into a system. God is not interested in making money. Although money can be made, and he doesn't say, well, you can't have any. But he's interested only in the true merchandise of his own kingdom that he said, I want you to get gold of me fried in the fire. Which is definitely then a true distinct revelation that has been absolutely proven to be the everlasting and true word of Almighty God. Which though you suffer for, you will come out as pure gold at the end and be blessed of Almighty God. Now these people did not want to stand with the word. Notice, it was not likely that God would interpret his word to Cain's evil generation. Now let's face it, God did tell Cain, but he wouldn't listen. God would not interpret his word to them. Why did God allow scientific knowledge to make a world so pretty and scientific and sinful he had to destroy it? Would God himself do that, make a world so pretty? Look here. God making his daughter so pretty, and then he would dress them so sexy that his sons would lust after them and commit adultery? God do a thing like that? This naked, stripped-off bunch of Laodiceans, worshiping the God of this world through their ethics and education, shrewdness and prettiness, come out of her, the Bible said, be not partakers of her sins, and don't receive her plagues. God will rain hail out of the skies one day, as big as 100 pounds apiece, destroy her by stoning her, like his word said, what he would do according to his law. That's according to the woman caught in prostitution. Well, if God did a thing like that, revealed his word to such a people as that, he would be defeating his own purpose. God's not foolish. He's the source of all wisdom. So you see where that stuff comes from? It comes from Satan. Came from Satan and is still of Satan. And the church believed it. Now, remember what we read of over here in Genesis, what we saw there in Genesis 6, 1 to about 5. So this age ends in Sodom conditions where sons of God must be careful of heterosexual, illicit sexual activity. Now, they're smart enough to know AIDS and a few other things. But you look around and you're going to find an increase, especially around the Branham message, where they're going to be more and more turning to those things which are not granted by God. They'll be preaching more and more. It's perfectly okay. In fact, the preacher himself must be polygamous. Because that's what God wants. Where do they find that in the Gospel of Paul? Paul was not a polygamist. He wasn't even monogamous. He was a bachelor. Now, Brother Branham turns it back to Paul's Gospel. Because you got to get back there according to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter and verse 10. Or first chapter, you missed it. So these people are talking and they're lying to you. Now, Brother Branham here is speaking of the purpose of God. So let's go ahead and look at the purpose of God. And of course, to do that, you're going to go to Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning at the 3rd verse. Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the best with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly place in Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost being ascended there with him. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us to adoption, children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace when He's made accepting the beloved. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, when He is bounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He had purposed in Himself. Now notice, He's got a purpose, and that purpose is His good pleasure. He loves to do it. He wants to do it. He's going to do it. That in the dispensation of fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. In Him also we obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be the praise of His glory, He first trusted in Christ, and so on. Now, Brother Branham said, you think God would have a purpose, would bring in those wicked goats and those wrong people into His purpose. God would not be so foolish as to defeat His own purpose. Now, notice what He says here. He said, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took all whom they chose, and God wiped them out. Now, you try to apply that today and think you can bring in these Joneses and Woodruff and these Clevelands and all this riff-raff, and they're not brothers of mine. I just tell them flat, I don't have a thing to do with them. They're, to me, they're the filth of the universe, trying to come here and hide under Brother Branham's skirt in the Word of Almighty God. You tell me that holds today in the light of Noah's day. Now get this flat. It isn't the homosexual, it's the heterosexual. So you can be out there in the world, you can be a complete heterosexual, and you can be pro-life and everything else, and miss this flat. See? Now they're condemned back there. Now this is not as bad as the days of Sodom, but it's coming to it because this is a part of it. Now, let's go over here to Romans the 9th chapter, and you can take a look at this thing which is called sovereignty, and I won't read the whole chapter, but it says here, let's read while in the first 6 verses, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. That's true. You got 12 tribes, you got millions of people, and don't tell me they're all Israel just because they're born there. Neither because are they the seed of Abraham are they children. Well, Ishmael wasn't. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of promise are counted for seed. Now notice back there in the days of just before Noah, that these men had mingled the seed and consistently mingled it until there wasn't a true human race. Now I stand here fully convinced that every single child of Adam and Eve was a true human being and somehow in that book of life. Now, what caused the problem? Sex caused the problem through beautiful women. I said nothing wrong with being a beautiful woman. Nobody said there was. But what if she didn't happen to be the right one? What if she's the other bunch? Now, that's exactly what happened. So there was an enticement that brought on the flood. Now, what is the enticement now? The same thing the beautiful women are causing men to fall like tenpins all over the place. And the so-called beautiful people in Hollywood live together, their children, and they don't give a rip about marriage. And your kids watch TV, watch the movies, and they say, well, that's great, we'll do it too. Now, the whole thing is ready for God's judgment. Now, we're looking at the harlot and her daughters, the condition of the church. What is the condition of the church today, the final church today? Never mind the Roman Catholics, never mind the Baptists, never mind anybody, but take a look at the Pentecostals. All right, in Brother Branham's vision, Miss Assembly of God was cropped beautifully, short skirts, she had paint on her face and on her fingernails, and she was just a-zooming down the street, and Brother Branham attracted her attention for a little bit. She listened to him. Finally, the devil came by as Mr. Word with his twirly mustache, and he looked like a fashion plate. He's a beautiful, handsome guy. And he winked at her, and she just let Brother Branham just as flat as a friend. And she was gone down the road. And she never even turned around. She was glad to go to Brother Branham. The next part of the vision was with Miss Oneness. And she looked pretty dowdy alongside of Miss Threeness, the Pentecostals. Now, this Oneness was a tongue-talking woman just the same, but she wasn't quite the flapper cap. So Brother Branham engaged her. She had her long hair and she had her long skirts, and she looked like she, you know, didn't come out of a fashion plate, but she was pretty much of a woman who believed in the sobriety of God. Now she talks quite a while to Brother Branham, but the devil turns right around and he smiles his big smile, tips his hat, his little mustachio twirls. He looks very genteel with his cane and everything, his cut back coat, and he winks at her. And she turns and takes his hand, and she goes down the road and takes one look back, and that's it. Now, there's your picture exactly. In each case, it was the woman. Now, because that is your church, and now the husband is the denomination, and that's the devil. So, the church is beautiful. That's exactly why John said he marveled. Now, you're going to find this no matter where. You're going to say, what's the matter with the church? Well, she's a whore. They're going to plump you right, and they're going to knock what teeth you got left. They're going to knock them out. Because, you see, you can't say that. Because they know better. The church has said, we're rich, increased in goods. We don't lack anything. You stick with us, baby. We will put you in the millennium. Another 1,000 years of smog. Oil spills in Houston. And the goofball we've got in the office here is the high priest of the United States, Mr. Bush, an oil man. Now, who do you think's going to put the army down there in Saudi Arabia? They started maybe another Vietnam, maybe not even get that far. It's nothing but a rigged deal. It's all there ever was, never will be. The church is into everything. It started many, many years ago. It's typed in the woman, the greedy woman who will take anything at any time. The church takes anything at any time. Business is in it. Everything is in it. I'm sure that Bush bowed his head and prayed. Oh, yeah, I'm sure the Muhammad's bowed their head and prayed, too. When they walked in. See? The church today cannot receive a revelation because Brother Branham said God would defeat his own purpose. And he said this naked, stripped off bunch of Laodiceans, the Pentecost epitomized it, worshiping the God of this world through their ethics and education, rudeness, and so on. In other words, they are well taught in everything they know. They have been taught a code of morals. They have been taught you shall not commit adultery, but they're allowed to take all their clothes off, and they commit adultery with people in their hearts, and they entice people on, and the church is doing that. And Satan is the head of the whole thing. Now, you see, women, I'm trying my best to show you the Word of God. The Bible said a woman cuts her hair, she dishonors her head, which is her husband. And her husband is the head with God. Well, the Bible distinctly said the head of the woman is the man, the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So look at the church. So she dishonors God and her husband. Now, this shows who is the head of this world church system. This shows who's the head of it. It's Satan in the form of a Superman person of knowledge, a super knowledge. He knows more than all the rest of them. No matter what the Word says, he's got his own interpretation to it. See, the interpretation for this evil age. What's his interpretation? Rich, increasing goods, and doesn't lack a thing. In other words, what he teaches to the people is, don't you worry. It's sufficient to see you through your hard times, your tough times. It'll see you through death. It'll see you right into immortality. It'll see you right into heaven. Everything is just fine. They stand there and say, you believe the church? Don't worry. We're proven. Everything is all right. 124. Notice his plans to build a super denomination church. The world counts the churches. See, a super denomination so that all the world will worship him, the beast, under the name United Christianity. Would you like to read that in the Bible? Revelation 13, 6 and 8. We saw that the other day. But we'll go again because Brother Branham brings it out at this particular time. 13th chapter, the 6th verse. He opened his mouth to, in blasphemy against the God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And then the 8th verse. He says, and all that dwell upon earth shall worship him, whose name is not in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain the foundation of the world. Now that tells you. Now what are people going to do now? Everyone's going to claim, my name's in the book. Yep, name's in the book. And they're going to let you know you get your name in his book by coming through their book. That's exactly why the Roman Catholic Church baptism of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost has taken captive every single Protestant that's been baptized that way, and they are Roman Catholics, and there is no word in the Bible for it. It is absolutely a doctrine that the Roman Catholic Church initiated. They tell the Protestant, and the Protestant, well, you know, it doesn't matter because, you see, they had the truth anyway. Okay, they turn the truth of God into a lie. There is no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's a lot of bunk. There is one God who is Spirit. See, now, he says here his own interpretation of this evil age. Now, what is the true interpretation of this age? Well, it is, as we said in Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 21. But also, what is it? It is the going on to perfection of Hebrews 6, where you leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And you go on, as we showed you, to perfection, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about verse 9, and also it is Ephesians the 4th chapter ending in verse 16. You're going to go to there, which is the headship of Christ himself, which means that every doctrine, whether it has to do with eschatology or soteriology, or any of the other five ologies, which I care two bits about what they are, you come to the person himself. Now, at the time of coming to the person himself, there is a mass of evidence concerning the person. And at that time, the person himself, you can crucify to yourself the Son of God afresh, which is Matthew, the 12th chapter, and Luke 17, the 30th verse. The Son of Man himself revealed. To vindication and manifestation. Now, how do they get around it? Simple as ABC. In the last days, anybody can receive the Holy Ghost. Anybody have gifts and all. It doesn't matter. As long as you got the anointing, that's a genuine thing. The prophet came on the scene and said that is a fooler. The prophet came on the scene and he corroborated, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're naked, you're blind, you don't know it. But they said, we're not. Rich increased in goods. We need another. The word in the God and the prophet said, millions now living are going to die. And they said, hogwash, millions now living are going to live. Now, how can you reconcile these denominations, the Word of God? You cannot. They're in the same delusion as Eve. She lost her veil to the devil's trickery. The modern day church is blinded by the devil's veil of deceit and denominational doctrines. She's entirely naked and lewd before God. But she believes she's thoroughly covered, which she isn't, because the devil's got her completely deceived. Now, 125. Don't you remember how the Nimrod, that hypocrite, built his big tower and made all the little cities pay tribute to it? Babel and Babel's the same thing. Just changes names and comes up on us. Rome now is Babylon, that's right. Now the whole world is brought to Babylon and is brought in by the World Council of Churches, which make every one of them bow to her. Now listen, and you took the mark of the beast not knowing what you were doing. But those who are elected will hear the word and come out of it. So he's telling you there that the mark of the beast is progressive. That's the same as Christ coming more and more into his church since he came down first on June the 11th, 1933, while the 17th convert was being baptized. And at that time of coming down, he came more and more until the last appearing, which was with those mighty angels, coming down to take complete headship by the word which is restored. That's why he came down. That's the chrusma. To bring the church in divine order and subjugation. So, that the church is freed once and for all from the deceit of Satan, who perverts the word to deceive, and is now brought under the complete thraldom and dominion of the word, in which is the Spirit of Christ to bring immortality. Now, how many are going to get it? 8 souls at the time of Noah. Maybe 500 people maximum will be standing here at that day of immortality. Now, 126. How contrary is denomination to God's word? Now, you see, the Bible is not a denomination. A denominator, a common denominator, is what everything can go into and come out to make sense in numerics, numerical production. So that's what the church is doing. They got a common denominator, and the common denominator is going to be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost with the World Council of Churches, and bring them right into the place where the devil wants them, and the rest will be subjected, because it says positively he will be the God to even those which just merely call a force and a power. How contrary denomination to God's word? He never had one, never dealt in one, and never dealt with one. I want some historian to show me wherever a prophet ever came out of the church. Show me where God ever blessed the church after it was organized. She went on the shelf and died of intellectual wisdom from the devil by their leaders and refused the word of God as it grew up into the perfect stature of Christ. Now see that? That's what I told you a while ago. That is exactly Ephesians, the 4th chapter, which Brother Branham came to tell us about in its consummation, and the women turned it down. That's the church. Now, if you don't think the church in Maine is run by a bunch of miserable women, you got another thought coming. Because they are. And the World Council of Churches is a bunch of women come together to take on a headship, which is denomination, which is masculine. And between the two of them, they're going to bring 4 children unto Satan. They've been doing it. They're going to keep doing it. They're going to run the world. All right. He said here, they substituted what God gave as the church grew up to the perfect stature under the headship of Jesus Christ. Now that is a word ministry carried on by a 5-fold ministry under a prophet, because the word comes to the prophet, and we know the church only had 1 real prophet, and that was Paul. So if you're ever going to have a true 5-fold ministry, and the church is going to get back to Ephesus, which it has to, it's going to have the same thing that Paul had. Now, I know that people aren't going to believe it. They'll say, oh, yeah, we get it by reading the Greek. Well, I don't think the Greeks are so smart. Any Greeks I've run across aren't so great. In fact, they're pretty stupid. I don't think they're even good cooks. Want to know the truth? I was over there in greasy Greece, only had 1 decent meal. Now that maybe sound pretty rough up here, but I never was known to be very sweet and kind. Now, it says here, separate from that unbelieving Eve, you children of the evening light. Children of what? Children of the Word. See, perfect faith separates from all unbelief. In other words, there's no way that you can possibly believe anything outside of what Brother Branham taught, because he's vindicated. Satan, God of this age, by his knowledge, giving the people to eat from the mixed tree of good and evil. Now that's where it started. See? He knows how to use his power, which is the power of deceit. It's allowed of God. And God lets you stand there like Eve and say, now you're going to stick with my word, or are you going to go there's something else? Now, there's something I believe this church has come to, if you've caught the same spirit I got. And that is, there's a sort of spirit of hopelessness about you. That if this ain't it, you're stuck. You wouldn't know where to look. Now you can't prove anything. Because the one man that can prove anything hasn't come back from the dead. And there's no use of looking for Jesus. Because he done told you plump and plain, you're going to meet him in the air. That's what you believe. And you believe the dead are going to come out of the ground. And if you've got anything going for you, like those people that are supposed to come out of the ground, they better get here first. Then you're going to get your chance. And you don't know anybody that came back for 2,000 years. So tonight, nobody really knows anything. Now, you see what I'm telling you? Science ain't worth a plug nickel. I don't care what you've learned. I don't care what nature says, the history books. I don't care about anything. You are dealing with an intrinsic proposition here, and the intrinsic proposition is resting in the thoroughly ascetic, where it doesn't have one thing to do with materiality. Except in the sense, it is predominant over materiality, and you are depending for this force to come and bend your materiality into it. And you don't know if whoever runs it is going to come and run you. Because you ain't got what it takes. Now you're stuck. I know a lot of your buddies out there, they're sitting on the fence. Now by now, you people listening to me these 8 years, you ain't sitting on any fence. Unless you got me fooled completely. It doesn't matter if you fool me, you fooled yourself. You know something? After the white throne, Satan's going to come back and try to fight God. I feel that way right now. Anything getting my way, I'll fight it. What I believe from those angels in this, I'm coming up fighting. With every ounce of guts I've got and haven't got. Because there's no place else to go. And you tell me you got some place else to go. Come on, be happy. Have the guts of a real gentleman. Come and tell me. Well, Brother Bale, I tell you, there could be something happen. Well, tell me what could happen. Don't guess. I don't want your stupid guessing. I can guess too. I think my guesses could be pretty good. I think. I don't know. No, you're stuck. Science and wisdom is finished. Whether you want it or not, your mind's been taken over. That's the way it's got to be. You got to come where Abraham was, God, which he believed in, a God that raises the dead and calls those things to turn out as though they were. You got to believe that time and eternity have mingled. You got to believe what the prophet said. I don't know. You cannot get away from what we're talking about. There is no way that you can dump it. Now, people would like to think they could dump it, but they can't. See? Now, 127, the God of this age, by his knowledge, giving the people to eat from his mixture of good and evil. He's taken some word and perverted it, thrown his own in. Notice Satan, by his knowledge, calling the people of this evil age to eat from a tree of good and evil. Now, that's right. The pure word of God mixed with their junk. If you're eating both kinds, they won't mix. They'll give you a stomach ache. He says that he's building a greater Christian civilization by his knowledge of good and evil, a greater Christian civilization, but Christ's little virgin, word flock, bride, doesn't care for his knowledge. She keeps free from him. What is it? See? Let's talk about her for a minute. She waits for her Lord in his millennium honeymoon, that's right, with the word groom, as she is the word bride. Now, if you wanted to, you could take this one paragraph and go back to Spoken Word's original seed and read what Brother Branham said there, as the Spirit told him to write it down. He was a scribe. He wrote it down word by word to the Lord gave him. And you'll know that he said, she takes his word. He goes right back to the beginning. So therefore, read it again. Talk about her. She waits for her Lord and his millennial honeymoon, with the word groom as she is the word bride. In other words, one source. Now that's what she is doing now. And remember, that is a vindicated word. And the vindicated word denies every other word that purports to be spiritual truth. You now have the thinking man's filter. Now remember, it's a thinking man's filter mind. I know people that are like old Edgar Casey. Edgar Casey was a spiritist. He couldn't remember one stupid thing in school because he was so stupid. And he got into such a dead end with the teachers, he was completely gone. So he put the book was on his chest like this, he went to bed. Wake up next morning, he could tell everything in the book better than the teacher could. Now people, as Christians, think that's the way it works. You're crazy. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Emotions, which the heart indicates, the emotional center, works from the senses, basically. And the senses need an input of something you can deal with. That's the mind. So we're dealing with the mind here. Just as Satan dealt with Eve, he deals with people's minds. Now remember, she had a perfect revelation before Satan ever touched her. So the prophet comes on the scene. And once he was on the scene, every counterfeit followed, just like Judas followed Jesus. Remember, the twin cannot be exposed until, first of all, the genuine is revealed. You say, just a minute, Cain was born before Abel. Yes, he was born before Abel, but it was Abel that showed what Cain was by his proper sacrifice. So don't let's get crazy ideas. We're talking about light. To whom it comes. So the light comes, and there'll be a bride that takes it. 129, knowledge and civilization and true Christianity have nothing in common. Civilization and true Christianity have not one thing in common. What civilization he's talking about? Civilization just by knowledge. The civilization that we're going to is not by knowledge. It is by God. He's the architect and he's the begetter. We all know that. And knowledge is from Eden. Proved it by what? He preached in Eden. And knowledge causes death. Now what knowledge is he talking about? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mixed. Satan never came and said, say, girl, there's no God. Well, she just said, tell me, where, pray, did you come from? Stupid. He never said there's no God. He disputed the revelation of the Word of God. He never even disputed the Word of God. He said, yea, hath God said. He knew God had said. He gave her his own interpretation. Now that's the knowledge we're talking about. That's the knowledge that builds the church. That's the knowledge that builds the kingdom. That's the knowledge that puts an antichrist and rules the world for 3.5 years. Now there's another knowledge that goes parallel with that. That is number one and was the first. See? Before it was violated. Now he said, knowledge causes death. What knowledge caused death? Of good and evil. Something was wrong. Is that right? What caused death in the Garden of Eden? Knowledge. Well, it can't be a god. What is can't be a god? Death can't be a god. So it's of the devil. He said, that was a good one. Knowledge, science, education is the greatest hindrance that God ever had. It is of the devil. Now I'll get some letters on that. I'm waiting on them. What's he talking about? Oh, I say, all right, then knowledge is of the devil. It's all. Here's his Bible. Is that of the devil? Don't be ridiculous. This is the knowledge of God written right here. But it is absolutely perverted by the devil by using theologians. And attempting to do anything with it outside of a pure God-given revelation. I see, that's what you're looking at here. Oh, I'll get some letters, he says. I know that. I'm waiting for them. Okay. Let's find out what I'm talking about here. Let's go to Hosea, the fourth chapter. Read a little bit. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now there's no truth, therefore there's no mercy. See, there's no moral creed, and no knowledge of God. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, the fish of the sea shall be taken away. That the green monkey already has HIV and subject to AIDS lets you know that all of nature can pick up this terrible pollution. Let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fail and fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I'll destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, sure sounds like they got plenty of knowledge down here. They're swearing and lying and killing and stealing, ought to break out, and ought to shed blood. They ought to commit adultery, mess up the universe. But they did kill the fish of the sea, the fowl of the heaven. Birds can't lay eggs because of DDT. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. On the other hand, they're destroyed because of knowledge. Wrong knowledge. Now, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I'll also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. How did they increase? Multiplied in numbers and multiplied in knowledge. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. Laodicea. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priests. Blind follow the blind. I will punish them for their ways, and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. Because they have left off to take heed of the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. All right. He said, my people ask counsel of the stocks, and their staff declareth them. In other words, spiritism. For the spirit of whoredoms have caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the top of mountains, and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplar and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses commit adultery. Now he's talking spiritually speaking. Let's get that flat. But it comes out in the physical, because he said so. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people shall not understand shall fall. He says right here, I'm letting you go ahead, and you are going to destroy yourselves. So, the doctors don't agree with me when I say, listen, I'm a hellfire and judgment type of preacher. And I believe AIDS has come because God Almighty, and I'm not really right in this, but I say God sent it. He said it would come. Now, God did not send it. Let's understand that. They bring it on themselves. You see the pollution? All right. So, let's go to the Psalms. Read the Psalms. We find 107 and verse 11, I hope. Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. There you are. So, let's go to the book of Romans. Aha, that's a good place to go. Let's see about a knowledge there. I just read about a knowledge there. Let's read Romans, beginning at 10th chapter, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel, to God for Israel, they might be saved, for I bear them record not that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There's a knowledge missing. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, no knowledge, and going about to establish their own righteousness, their own knowledge, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So if you are going to be righteous before God, you must be in possession of a certain knowledge. The blood doesn't work without it. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now put that with Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Where do you come? Right there. With the mighty descent of the angels. Taking power and authority over his church. For Moses describes the righteousness which is the law, that the man which doeth the things, doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. How can you speak if you don't know? So what's the word for that thing there? Well, yeah, it's got something on it and sticks out this way. It's a chair, stupid. What makes those light burn? I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't know either except somebody told me electricity. There's got to be a filament, like which is a resistor. It becomes incandescent with the heat and so on and so on and so on. But why don't you just take an element off your stove and say, well, that's going to make light. How much light will that make? Well, it's got to be a special kind. Got to have the arrow and a few things like that. Right? That's knowledge. So with this, you've got to know certain things. See? But the righteousness which is faith speaketh unto I say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to him that's bring Christ down, or ascend to deep, bring Christ up again? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, said the Apostle Paul. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus according to what I preach. And thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised the dead according to what I preach. Now, what somebody thinks, what I preach, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Believes what? Tell me. Brother Brad's not speaking just knowledge and saying, just what you do, you draw a blank. And you draw a blank and you say, I'm going to be a Hindu. Now, I concentrate on the end of my nose and I look at my nose and I think nothing. Hogwash. No, they do that. I'm not kidding. The way to come to some special peace with some of these nuts over from the east, eastern baloney, whether you slice it western or not, it's still eastern baloney. You're supposed to, you know, look at your nose, end of your nose, and you're supposed to come to a place where your mind's a blank. How long do you keep your mind a blank? Well, don't ask that. Some of you just go 24 hours a day. Not really. I'm just kidding. I show you a point. Hey, look. There's two kinds of knowledge. And one is in direct conflict with the other. And the direct conflict comes by an interjection of the one to the other. Now, you leave science alone. Don't have a fear in your life. Go ahead and enjoy it. But the minute you begin to apply something to the Word of God outside of divine revelation, you are finished. You say, well, I'll tell you, I could believe that, but you know, there's no such thing as a whale could have swallowed Jonah. Well, my Bible doesn't call it a whale, it calls it a big fish that God prepared. Well, you see, God doesn't do that. Oh, how do you know he does? Well, you see, I don't see anything. Well, I'm not stupid. Well, I think you are. When it comes to spiritual things. See, you can't mix them. What one man said is true. The Bible is not a scientific book, but when it makes a scientific statement, it is never proved wrong. Who ever heard of the skin of the teeth? Job did. When did they find out? In the 20th century, I think. Yeah. Who knew the earth had four corners? Not if the astronauts went up and found the landmass has four corners. See? Bible, when it makes a statement, it's accurate. But it's not a scientific book. It's not a book of philosophy. It's the Word of Almighty God and pertains to salvation. That's why, especially as Paul says, we've got to get back to his testimony in that day, which is that day when he came. And he's here now heading his church. I know. And the people make him a doctrine. Don't you understand you're an organization when you say that? Oh, God. I don't. Look at it. If I had my way, I'd quit tomorrow morning. Just leave the whole thing alone. What science and education of all kinds is about is success. That's what it's about. Why do men go for science and all these things? Why did the Roman Catholic Church turn it down? Because they wanted people bound to their stupidity. But wherever God ever deals with anybody, really deals, always He allows the true scientific light. He's not against knowledge. Well, you keep it where it belongs. Come on, prove God's against knowledge. God made it all. How can God be against knowledge? Adam named these animals. You know He's not against knowledge. But within the kingdom of God, there are two separate things. One is the power to produce, and the other is the production. So don't get messed up with the production. And think you can tell all about the power. Because you can't. Because the very God that made waters to swim in also made a crocodile that the devil got onto to bite your leg off if you go in that water. And don't blame it onto God. Keep your wire straight. Now let's talk about success. Success is in Joshua 1. Reading the second verse. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people under the land which I have to give them, even the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun, and it shall be your coast. That's your borders. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. You try to make that scientific. Well, hey, they got instruments of brass. Let's get bigger instruments. Look at America spending all its money to fight a cold war and a hot war. And the poor, miserable, stupid commies had bluffed us all. They couldn't fight a war if they tried. They're bankrupt right now. Boy, they could fight a war, but you know what I'm talking about. Their system. Brother Branham said, forget it. They ain't nothing from nowhere. And they aren't. They're finished. So much for human wisdom. The great wisdom of Lenin and Stalin, the Trotskys and the... wonder who those Germans were. It wasn't Ingeborg Humperdinck, but somebody like that. What was the guy's name? Starts with E, I forget. Doesn't matter anyway. I'll remember later on. See? Not any man stand before you. As well as Moses, I'll be with you, I'll not fail of safety. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or left, and whatsoever thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He's got to be thinking it. You're going to say a thing, you got to think it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest adjourn according to sitting therein. Then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. That's real knowledge. That's success. And nobody has a thing to do with it except God and His Word. That's why Brother Branham said, listen, the Holy Spirit is in the Word. The Word is the conduit. And you pile word upon word until you're truly full of the Holy Ghost. And watch that revealed word do something. The only way I know to get out of here, you do what you want and you think your thoughts. I can't do it. Brother Branham quotes Proverbs. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Then we've got to quit because my time's running anyway. The book of Proverbs is the second chapter. 1-13. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Put them deep in your heart, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, and seek for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. That's it, respecting God, and find your right position. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, is Brother Branham talking about that? He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk upright. He keeps the path of judgment, preserveth the day of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Hey, how many understand that? Then when wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil. And the man that speaketh forward things, who lead the path of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and the forward paths, and so on and so on. Well, you read that. Now the third chapter, he goes on talking. He said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I've been eating vitamins by the handful. They didn't do the good. They won't do the good as this. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. See, that's the word. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He'll direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It should be health of thy navel and marrow of thy bone. Hey! What's your belly button? That's the belly. It goes both ways. You can be healthy up and down. You got it, me. Honor the Lord thy substance with the first fruit of all the increase. So shall thy barns before the plenty. The oppressor burst up with new wine. My son despised not the chastening of the Lord. Need to be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects. Doesn't beat him over the head. He just says, hey, fella, don't do that. Do it this way. What's the correction of God? The word of God. If you're wrong someplace, say, what's wrong? And if you're doing the word of God, then don't worry. Sure, you'll be tried. See if you've got any guts. You people listen to me about financial things and you go halfway and you quit. You get scared. I went for years on $39.50, whatever it was, and paid the 20% off the top, laying a foundation. I don't boast, but I tell you, I can do anything I want to any cause in this world. I could contribute something. Bible said I couldn't, I can do it. You don't listen to me. You just think you do. I'm giving you solid wisdom, word of God. Ask my wife what we went through. You try to live the way we did. You have to learn to stand. Some of you still pull deals. I wouldn't be surprised if you pull deals. You can't pull deals. Don't do that. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But there's a knowledge and there's a knowledge and there's a knowledge and there's a knowledge and a knowledge. There's only one real knowledge. God's knowledge. Happy is the man that find the wisdom. The man getteth understanding. If the merchandise is better, the merchandise is silver. And the gain thereof than fine gold. Sure, because you get all that too. She's more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire not be compared to her. Length of days and so on. I'm finishing now. Now, on her right hand, all the way down the line. Now, that's what you see right there. Brother Branham says the church under the devil doesn't supply. And they would if they just took the vindicated word of God. Now, we have the vindicated word of God. It opens what? It opens the doors to heaven and shuts the gate of hell. But there's your answer. Defies death, brings on immortality. In him is the resurrection, in him is the millennium, in him is everything. And he's here today to lead us in. And who is he? He's the Word. What more do we want? Nothing. That's right. Come back another time. Oh. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time of coming together to know, Lord, your Word is true. We know it's true. I've been vindicated to be true. Oh, God, what a privilege we have as a people. Like Brother Branham said, do this once in Africa. Thousands come. But over in America, it becomes so common, so common, so common. Lord God, help this word now never to be common to us, but to be full of the strength of the Holy Ghost. As we boot out every word, Lord, in our thinking, in our mentality, our hearts, our minds, that is not of you. Lord, there's a vindicated word that we can hide in our heart. Let that vindicated word that we hear from the prophet be hidden within our hearts. To turn us from the wicked women, the churches, who run their houses of prostitution and shame because they prostituted the word of God, defiled themselves and everyone that entered therein, until the blood of Christ is upon their hands and the blood of the martyrs. Lord, we don't know any people anywhere that hasn't persecuted even unto death your people. Take it to Africa. Take the Middle East. Europe, take it anywhere. They've killed your saints, Lord. Showing where their knowledge comes from. Refusing the word of God. Lord, we thank you there's a people who take your word. They've done it through the ages. And there's going to be a word people, Lord, you with the great word God. And the great word eternities. When we see really, as never before, because these eyes really can only tell us a little. And we'll really see and really know in that day the harmony and the oneness and the true realization that we come from you and we go back to you to be around you and to glorify. We might not do too good a job here, Lord. We know that. We apologize. We're sorry. Thanking you for the blood that cleanses us, Lord, and the living word of God that corrects us and gives us strength to walk therein. Help us, Lord, to lift up the hands that hang down and make strong the knees that are bending with weight. We all might advance toward your kingdom in the strength and beauty and glory of God. Let the sick amongst them be healed, Lord. I believe that's for us. I don't believe that's something of the past, Lord, something of the future. I believe it's a now promise. So, Father, we wait on you, believing that this message is our healing somehow because the prophet said it. The gifts of the Spirit as they were on the shelf. The sweet Spirit of Christ taking headship and authority in the church. Healing men and women's souls, their minds, and their bodies. Tonight, Lord, let the people, all of us, realize how wonderfully important that word is and what it can do. Not like Eve, who saw all creation and knew that even the beast was a part of it. Seeing all those things and turned away from the Great One, Lord, help us. And where we've turned, forgive us and bring us right back to our gaze fixed upon you, O Lord God. As the prophet said when he opened his eyes, he was kneeling there in that field when you turned and he saw you. And like John, he fell prostrate. Literally passed out. To come to finally, he'd been in your presence, Lord. Help us to understand that. Your great presence here, Lord, to not make light. And even not to be overzealous to defend, because we know, Lord, if they can't see, they can't see. If they go this way and we go another way, that's something that you've ordained. May we just learn to thank you and love you and rest in the peace of God in constant fellowship of the blood cleansing us. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.